Thank you, John. Thank you. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 10. Put a bookmark there and head on over to Genesis 1 while I get us started in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the promises that you've given us. I thank you that you're confirming your plans and purposes for this nation. I thank you, Lord God, that you're confirming it. I thank you that you have birthed us in this hour and in this nation. I thank you for the light that you have born in this earth through this country. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the victories that we're seeing in terms of abortion, dialing back the clock, Lord God, until it's completely gone from a state by state, Lord God. Victories are coming. I thank you, Father. I thank you that you are saving this nation. I thank you. Father, as we prepare to study your word, I just pray that you would open up your scriptures to us tonight, that you would reveal the secret things, that you would pull back the veil, that we could see the promises that are in your word, what's available to us as your children. We would see it. We would experience it. It would become real to us in such a way that we can walk in the authority that you have given us in this hour. I thank you, Father God, for your plan for the earth. I thank you for your plan for the nation. I thank you for your plan for your children in this hour. I thank you, Lord. In your precious and most holy name, amen. As I've been praying over this week and the message that the Lord had given me, he started giving to me last week, and he began to bring it together day after day, precept upon precept, filling in the gaps of what he wanted me to share. The hour that we're in is so critical for our nation. I was talking with my mom on the phone not too long ago, and we were talking about what's taking place in the earth overall. We were talking about what's taking place in this nation and their attempt to put the light out of this nation. Their attempt, their fight, their tenacious in their fight to snuff the light out of the earth. You see, America is one of the last lights in all the earth. There's pockets, there's people that are saved all over the earth, but America is a light into all the earth. That's why they're trying to snuff out this light. If they can take over America, they will have effectively taken over the earth. And we know it's not God's time for that. We know that. Scripturally, it's not God's time for that. So our fight as children of the living God, our fight in this hour is to rise up against every obstacle the enemy puts in our path. Every obstacle the enemy puts in the path of those who are seeking and striving to bring forth righteousness in our country. Our responsibility is to fight against that. A few weeks ago, it's been almost 2 months now, I shared about the awakening. I shared about the path of creation, what God's plan was in creating his children. When he created Adam and Eve, his plan was for fellowship and intimacy with man. That was his plan. In Genesis chapter 1, he said, let's make man in our image and give him authority, dominion over the earth, over the fish of the sea, over the animals, over the plants. Adam will have dominion over the earth. That was his plan. That we might have the authority over the earth. That Adam and Eve would reproduce and their children would follow hard after God. That when God came down and fellowshipped with Adam and Eve every afternoon in the cool of the afternoon, that fellowship would be inclusive of their children and their children's children. That was the plan that God had for his creation. He wanted that intimacy with his children. I also shared how the Lord showed me that through all that God did, through the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through the creation of Israel, all through the lineage, we see the plan to reunite God's creation with their creator. And when Jesus came to the earth, it was the first opportunity that God, in the form of a man, could actually interact with his creation since Adam and Eve. It was a beautiful, beautiful image that the Lord had given me. It touched me so deeply as he unveiled all of that to me. And I saw his plan for intimacy with the children of God. If you weren't on that call, go to our website. It's on our website. Over the course of the last few weeks, now, the Lord told me in 2017, to know no bounds. And he was going to teach us what it meant to know no bounds. That his children were going to learn what it meant to know no bounds. It was 2016, sorry. And in that year, our intercessors went to the coastline on the East Coast, and they held back the hurricane that was trying to come across their shores through the scriptures that we gave them. Because God has given us authority over the earth. When we come under the blood of Christ, we are brought back under the authority that he wants to give his children. When we pray according to his will, according to his plans and purposes, and we are walking in obedience to him, we can walk in the authority that he's called us to walk in. When Jesus walked this earth, what did he do? He had authority over the elements, didn't he? He walked on the sea. He spoke to the wind and the waves in Matthew chapter 8 and calmed the storm. The disciples, it was so bad, they awakened the master and they said, Master, Master, how can you be sleeping? We're about to perish. Peace, be still. And the wind calmed, and the sea was as calm as could be. What did the disciples say? What kind of a man is this? That the wind and the sea obey him. He is a man who has dominion and authority given to him by God. You see, the enemy has sought to strip us of this. He's watered down the scriptures. He's watered down the messages that we receive at church. He's watered down our idea of the authority that God has given us to walk in this earth. It's systematic. It's just like he watered down healings. He's watered down. The greatest revivals that we've ever seen have been revivals that were birthed in tears. The tears of the saints. God didn't just pop on the ground and they, boom, a revival came. The people came together and they repented for the sins of the nation. The greatest revivals that we've ever seen in history were birthed out of the tears of the intercessors weeping for the sins of the nation. Catherine Coleman, when asked where the power comes from for her services, she says, I've got a great big generator. In fact, I got 40 of them down here. So why don't you let me bring you down here and show them? She took them downstairs, opened up a room, and there were 40 intercessors weeping before God. That's what gave the power and the authority for them to have ambulance day. In her meetings, where people would schedule an ambulance to take them to those meetings on a specific day of the week that they might be healed. That's the power and the authority that God has called his children to walk in. It comes with a price. We know this. I don't say what I say lightly. I consider it. I reflect on it. I pray on it. This is what he's given his children in this hour. 2016, no bounds. 2017, the refining. The refining is here. To bring forth a new breed of believers. And I talked about the new breed of believers for months on end. What does it mean to be a new breed of believers, my friends? What does that mean? These are people that walk in humility before God. These are people that walk. They're prayerful people. These are people that will walk in the authority that God has granted them. The new breed of believers are those that will release the power of the living God in the earth because they paid the price. We said, what does that look like? The end of last year, the Lord told me he was redefining the church, and I've been talking about that all year. What does it mean to see the church redefined? What it means is to strip away the watered down, the deception, the delusions, and bring forth a body of Christ that has been purified. Bring forth a church that people can look at and say, yep, they're preaching the word of God. Bring forth a church that the people will be drawn into the building by their spirit because their spirit is ignited within. Where you can walk down the street and your spirit, man, is ignited because of what's going on inside that room. These may be big churches. They may be little bitty storefront churches. There will be a lot of home churches. But the church will no longer be synonymous with corruption and sin. The church, those called out of the world and up to God, out of the world, out of the sin and the corruption of the world and up to God, those individuals will have a voice given to them by God, and they will declare the word of the Lord in the earth. They will take authority. They will take dominion where God tells them to take authority and dominion. This was his plan. The people of God were created to be powerhouses in the kingdom of God. We've forgotten that. God is calling us back to the hunger that we had for him when we first got saved, and a fire that we had when we first got saved. And he wants it coupled with the maturity and understanding of his word that we have today. He's calling us back to be people that are so on fire for him that we are fearless warriors for the kingdom of God. We are transitioning into the kingdom age, my friends, and that means we will walk in a new authority in the earth. When Jesus came, he came and he gave us the perfect example for this. He demonstrated exactly what the church was supposed to be, exactly what ministry was supposed to be, didn't he? In Matthew, and we've been talking about this a lot over the last several months, Jesus came. First it was John the Baptist. Jesus came, he was baptized, he went out into the wilderness and went through his testing period. When he was done, he came back and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 5, 6, and 7, what did he do? He preached the Sermon on the Mount. What is the Sermon on the Mount? It is a breakdown of the law. It tells them what the law means, verse by verse. How we're supposed to treat our brothers. How we're supposed to care for others. How we're supposed to honor God. What it means when he says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." What it means when he says, "Thou shalt not lie." What it means when he says, "Thou shalt not steal." It's not just taking from someone, it's giving to them. If you have it and you don't share it, it's as good as stealing. Because we are the body of Christ called out of the world and up to God. That doesn't mean when we die. That means today. Now. This hour. You think this was without struggle? No. In the very early days of his ministry, they sought to kill him. They didn't even wait. He wasn't even 2 years old. And Herod was already releasing the soldiers to kill every child under the age of two in hopes of killing this king. In the early days of his ministry, they sought out how to take his life and silence this man that stirred the masses. But his time, his hour, was not yet upon us. His time had not yet come. He needed to demonstrate and to continue to demonstrate to the people what it meant to be a child of God in the earth. What it meant to be the outstretched hands of the Savior into the earth. What it meant to be the outstretched hands of God into the earth. He was not finished with his ministry, and he knew it. Jesus had authority over the elements. He fed twice. He fed the masses. Masses with a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. The masses. The Bible says at one time it was 3,000 and another time it was 5,000. That represents only the men. Women and children were not included in that number. Some reports say up to 20,000 people were fed that day by a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. He said, well, that's because he was God. But he was also a man. I know of an orphanage over in a third world country in very, very difficult times. And they're raising children, orphans. They don't know where their food is coming from the next day. But they would pray. They would pray. They gather the children around at night and they pray for their daily bread. And in the morning, when they open the door, there's food waiting for them. Every day, God feeds them miraculously. That's the God we serve. But we've forgotten this. We've forgotten the power and the authority He's called us to walk in the earth. Why have we forgotten this? Why have we forgotten our voice? Why have we allowed the enemy to do this? Distractions of the world, cares of the world. Jesus talked about that as well. All of these things come into place and they interfere with the growth of the children of God. But my friends, He's doing a work in His children. He's birthing something in His children. Those who are willing to pay the price. Jesus demonstrated what it meant to function in the power of the living God. He demonstrated what it meant, what we were supposed to be. He demonstrated that. The Sermon on the Mount, after the Sermon on the Mount, what did Jesus do? He went in Matthew chapter 8 and 9 and He healed people. He didn't just heal people. He healed the untouchables, the ones that the Jewish law would consider them unclean, the lepers or the impossibles, right? The demon-possessed. The lepers, the blind, the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. With an issue of blood like that, she'd be untouchable by anyone. She would have had to have alienated herself because she would have been considered unclean. And Jesus stopped the procession to go and heal someone, to address her, to reach into her life. 12 years of silence. 12 years of rejection, 12 years of being less than a wallflower. And Jesus stopped what He was doing to heal this woman and restore her to her people. That's what a child of God does. He restored the blind. He said, I come to fulfill the law. And for two chapters, He showed us how He fulfilled the law, what it meant. What did He say? He said, when He was asked, Master, what two laws are the most significant? He said, the law could be summed up in this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He pointed everyone to God the Father. And He loved everyone He came into contact with a deep, almost unmatchable love. That's the depth of who Christ was when He walked this earth. Why would we do any less? Why would we diminish the work and the power and the authority that He walked in? Why would we do that? Why would we let anyone tell us that we could not have or walk in that level of authority in the earth? Why would we do that? Unless we didn't know. That was part of the plan of the enemy, to diminish the word of God. So the children of God wouldn't know the power and the authority that God has called us to walk in. It's very effective. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sends his disciples out. He's taught them. He's demonstrated what a life of ministry was. And then he sends his disciples out. And when he sends out the disciples, what does he tell them? Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, he says, "And when he called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Skip down to verse 6. And he says, "Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrips for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat." What did he tell them? He went on to tell them that they're going to go and do the ministry like he just did, like he just demonstrated to them, right? Did he say it was going to be easy? Nope, he did not. In fact, he goes on to tell them that they're going to be hated, that they're going to be persecuted. To not be surprised by this. Why? Because he was giving them the entire picture of what to expect. The more time Jesus spent with his disciples, the more he taught them, if they hate me, which we learn in John chapter 7 and 8, it was very early on in his ministry that they were trying to take him. If they hate me, they're going to hate you. Because the world loves the world, and you're not of the world. Jesus had taken them in and deposited all that he had into them, pouring out example after example, teaching after teaching, so that they would be ready for ministry. You see, we have had years and years and years and years of teaching. In fact, if we had our way about it, most of us would just sit around and let ourselves be taught. We'd just sit at the foot of the Sermon on the Mount. We've forgotten that what we receive, we need to give out. Because the person that we give that out to might only have that opportunity to come to know Jesus. But the enemy provokes fear in us. It's part of what silencing the voice of the church. That was his plan, to make us fearful, to approach people. We have the best gift in all the earth. We have the best gift in all of the earth. We have eternal life. Eternal life. Eternity goes on and on and on and on. And the enemy has provoked us into a place where there is such fear that we don't speak out the best gift we could give a person. We don't declare it. We don't proclaim it. We do it in the safety of our church, but we forget about our neighbors. We forget that if we come in and we stay in our prayer closet and we seek the heart of God and keep our spirits in tune and we go out into the workplace, we go out into the store, He will speak to us, the person that's ready to receive Him. He will declare to us the person that is ready to receive a word of hope and love and faith in that moment. Why have we forgotten the promises of God? Why have we forgotten the power and the authority that we've been created to walk in? Why have we forgotten that the reason Jesus came was to take us back to a place like Adam and Eve, where we would walk in the authority that He's given us in the earth? We have authority over scorpions and serpents. We have authority over sickness and disease. We have authority over the demons. We have authority over this. And the enemy has created such fear within the church that we have lost our voice. The new breed of believers that are coming forth, these are the mighty men of valor. These are those that will go into battle fearless. And they would do anything and everything for their king. That's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to be. He's stirring us up, preparing us, igniting within His children the fire for the fight that lies ahead. We have people in Joel's army that are so fearless in the face of the enemy. They're fearless. They will go and they will do what God has commissioned them to do, even in the darkest states. I mean, we all know what's going on in Virginia with abortion. They won't even just wait. They'll go all the way past when a woman has given birth and make a determination what will happen with that baby. Does our state coordinator let that provoke fear in her? She's a little bitty thing too. Does that state coordinator let that silence her? Does she think, man, these guys are so evil, they will kill a child, sign off on it, so it's not considered murder up to 2 weeks after birth? You say, how do they do that? Well, they just make that baby comfortable and they withhold food. Very terrible way to die. Does she let that kind of darkness stop her from the fight for this nation? No, she does not. She's a fierce warrior for the kingdom. My state coordinator here in California, a fierce warrior. She leads our state prayer call on issues that are tough, that we can weep before God to give this state a chance, a fighting chance, to bring forth the kingdom of heaven in the earth. We have many state coordinators that will do that are Joel's Army State Coordinators. Why? Because they're in it to win it. They understand what's taking place in our nation. It's like a big dome, and they're trying to snuff out the light that resides within this nation. We are the last light. And as children of the King, those that have been taught by Jesus himself, he came, he called his disciples, he taught them, and then he released them into ministry with all the authority they needed to fulfill their call. They went out, many people were healed, many people were delivered, many people were saved. People threw rocks at them and chased them out of their towns. And they went to the next town and delivered the same message. Why? Because they were there to release the kingdom of heaven in the earth. Peter and John went to pray after Jesus, after his resurrection. Peter and John went to pray. And remember the lame man? He reached out his hand and asked for alms. We all remember the little Sunday school song, right? What did Peter say? Silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. When did we stop reaching out into those in need and saying, in the name of Jesus, rise up? People are crippled in the mind, they're crippled in the heart, they're crippled in the soul. They're crippled in the bodies. When did we quit fighting for them? When did we allow the enemy to silence us so that we wouldn't reach into their lives and bring them up out of the ashes? God is calling us to be released in the earth to take dominion and authority over all that's presented to us. Over all of it. Everything he compels you to do, you do it. And when we obey, and he responds, we give him the glory and the honor. Peter and John, they went before the Pharisees. They put him in jail, threatened him. Don't you tell people Jesus did this. You give glory to God. You give glory to God. And what did they say? Is it better that we obey you or the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we obey man or the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the one that gives us the power and the authority over principalities. Now, I'm not proposing people go out and tackle major national principalities on their own. That takes much time and collective intercession. But what I'm telling you is, he's not going to tell you to do things that's going to hurt you. He's trying to ignite the faith within his people that they might walk in the fullness of the calling. When Peter and John went back, they told everybody what happened. And what did they do? They thanked the Lord and they asked him for more boldness. I think it's Acts chapter 2. They asked him for more boldness and courage to speak forth his word. Let your spirit come and bring us the boldness we need. Ignite within us the fire that we could release your word, your will, your plans in the earth. And when they sought him out, the entire place shook. The earth shook. Why? Because they were praying in accordance with the will of God. My friends, we're supposed to be earth shakers. That's what we're called to be. They didn't go back and say, you would not believe what happened. They put us in jail. We were there overnight. And then they brought us and they shamed us. And they told us if we go and we tell about Jesus, they're going to put us back in jail. Can you believe it? They didn't sit there and cry. They walked out of there praising God that they were considered worthy. Worthy to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. God is trying to break the fear of man off his children and ignite within us his spirit, his fire, so that we can go and do what he created us to do. He came, he taught. He demonstrated, and he released his disciples with the authority given him by God Almighty. That's what we're called to do. That's the church of today. When I say he's trying to redefine the church, that's what he's doing in this hour. He is raising up a people who will go and do what he created us to do, fearless. Because all they can do is take our body. Our eternity is secured in him. Eternity is secured in him. He's trying to break the fear of the past, the fear of the enemy. The enemy is, he's a wily little fella. What did Jesus say? Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. We all know how wise the serpent was, right? He tricked Eve to eating that fruit. But God has given us authority over the serpent. Have we forgotten? He is still just a serpent. He is still a snake in the grass. And we have been given the authority to rule and reign in this earth. We have been given authority to rule and reign in this earth. And the Lord wants to ignite your spirit man with his fire. You say, well, I've gone through so many trials lately. I just don't have the strength for this. Do you know we go through our trials to refine us? To purify us, to strip the world off of us, so that we can walk in the authority he's given us. So that we can have a holy fear of God instead of a fear of man. This is where he's calling us to walk. Let him break the fear off of you. We are in the home stretch. We have a nation that must be saved. When we pray, it must be with a fire, with a zeal, with tears, with a fervency unlike anything else we've ever experienced. Because if the enemy successfully snuffs out this nation, he will have snuffed out the light of the world. And you know what? He, God, is not finished yet. He is not finished yet. He's not finished with you. He's not finished with his body. He's not finished with us yet. He's not finished. Join the fight, my friend. Join the fight. Allow God to strip the fear off of you and ignite you from deep within, that you might go fearlessly doing all that he has called you to do. Let him stir your spirit man up. Heavenly Father, ignite your people. Stir within them the spirit. I feel it. You are stirring up the hearts and the spirits of your children. Ignite within them. Break off the chains that bind them. Break off the fears that held them captive, Lord God. Release them into their calling. This is the hour where you are breaking off the chains of the enemy. This is the hour. They have walked under the oppression of the enemy long enough, and you have brought them here tonight to be set free in the name of Jesus. Let him set you free, my friends. There is nothing that is to keep you bound. You are bound to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Nothing else. And when he is your Lord, you are free. Free to be released in the power and the authority of the living God. You have no idea the power that resides in your spirit man. You have no idea. Jesus walked on water, and Peter was able to walk on that water until he became distracted by the elements. It's time for us to stop being distracted by the elements. Keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfill the call that he has on our lives. He's igniting us. Father God, break the chains off your people. Break the chains off of them, Lord God. Whether it's chains in the flesh, chains on the mind, chains on the heart, the hardest one for us to have broken. Whatever the chains is, whatever the bondage is, Lord God, break it off your children and release them into the authority that you've created them to walk in. Release them, Lord God, into the authority that you have created them to walk in this earth. We've got powerhouses on this line tonight. Powerhouses. Warriors in the kingdom of God. Warriors that are so ignited that their spirit man is on fire tonight. Warriors that are so ignited that they heed the call of the spirit above all else. Warriors, Lord God. Warriors. Warriors, even in waiting, break off the chains, Lord God. That they would enter into the fullness of where you've created them to walk. In the fullness of the anointing and the power and the authority of the living God. It resides in us. Let us see it. Give your people dreams, Lord God. Give us the dreams that we need, Lord God. To see the path you have for us. Speak it to us, Lord God, in our prayer time. Speak it to us in your word. Speak it to us in the night seasons. Until we are completely set free and released into what you have for us. The church is not called to be silent. The church has been created to rise up and take dominion in the earth. Give us what we need to accomplish that, Lord God. Your precious name. Amen. Thank you, John.